Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For you parents, a new rule: no donuts before the children's sermon. A little less sugar would do us all well. Now, they are wonderful. Our children are great. Well, in our gospel lesson for today, we receive this story about the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where he encounters on the shore of the lake two boats, and he gets in and they tell Simon Peter, row out a little bit from the shore, and he does. And Jesus begins to teach. Now, do you notice that in the gospel lesson for today, Luke doesn't bother to tell us anything about what Jesus teaches? It's not part of the story. It just says that the people gathered on the shore and Jesus taught them. And then he turned to Peter and he said to him, put out into deep water. Go into deep water and let down your nets. I can imagine Peter's confusion. And he says to Jesus, well, Lord, you know, in a kind of patronizing way, Lord, you know, we've already been fishing all day, and we caught butkus. Nothing. Zip. Zilch. We got skunked. And I'm thinking Jesus, or Peter, is thinking to himself, why am I listening to this guy? He's a carpenter. What do carpenters know about fishing anyway? I mean, for goodness sake, these fishermen have been going out every single day of their lives. They go out and they fish in the same places for the same kind of fish in the same way for millennia. I don't know if you know many fishermen, but I do. And I can tell you that they are, at the very least, a somewhat superstitious lot. They don't like change. They go to the same places and fish the same way because they know where their luck is. And at best, they'll move from one fishing ground to another ground that they already know. They're always looking for repetition of action. And they do the same thing over and over and over again to the point that their muscles simply know what to do. So here's a carpenter saying to them, put out into deep water. Well, there's no fish there. Well, and by the way, put your net over the other side of the boat, as if that 4 feet makes any difference at all. But they do. They let down their nets, and they begin to pull those nets up. Arms straining, sunburned foreheads burning. As they haul in those nets, they can hear the creaking of the netting. And the boat, if you've ever been in a small boat, as you're pulling something up from the water, you tend to kind of tip to one side and water comes over. And the water starts to fill in the bottom of the boat, and they're pulling in those nets and they're beginning to break, and the boat is beginning to sink from so much bounty. Just go into deeper water, Jesus says. Go there where there is uncertainty and danger and excitement and opportunity. Just go. And they do. Now, I would think that the way this story would end in a perfect world is that they would go back to the shore. They would bring their nets to the shore and their catch to the shore, and they would get it all cleaned and ready for market, and they would make a fortune, and everyone would live happily ever after. But they don't. They go back to the shore. They haul their boats up, and it says in the Gospel of Luke, they leave everything and follow Jesus. Now imagine yourself walking along that same shore late in the afternoon. The sun is high, burning on your face. And as you walk along the lake shore, you see two boats filled to the brim with fish. And nobody there. How weird. Where did they go? What a waste. Here's this wonderful, incredible bounty and no one taking advantage of it. It would have been, you know, if I came across something like that, I would think the rapture had happened and I got left behind. Where'd they go? They leave everything. That day, Peter and James and John, all of their fishing partners, were called out of their usual way of doing things, fishing the reefs and the shallows, putting their nets over on the same side of the boat into deeper water. I love that image. In deeper water, you do indeed find uncertainty and danger and excitement and opportunity. Have you ever been there? Deep water? If you go down to Waikiki, you'll find that most tourists seldom ever get, and frankly, most residents, since only 30% of the people in Hawaii apparently know how to swim, they only get a few yards from the shore. Are you like that? You know how it is. You get into the water and you begin to move out, and pretty soon you're up on your tippy toes and the water's about up to here, and then you think, I better go back. Right? Because as soon as your feet leave the sand, you begin to tread water, and then you start to think, what if I get a cramp? What if there's a shark? What if I get a cramp and there's a shark? What will I do? And we immediately, many of us, begin to paddle our way back in. Fear and uncertainty so easily take hold of us. Sometimes we call them caution and good sense. But I remember the first time I got dropped off by a boat to snorkel in open water. We jumped off the boat and adjusted our masks, and I looked down in the water and I went, whoa. I was really nervous. It's a long way to the bottom. And I just kept my eye on the boat, you know. I didn't want to get too far away, and then I thought, though, there'll be sharks out there. There'd be whales out there, and apparently octopus. And it took a little while to finally relax. And only then could I begin to see the beauty of what God had made. There was something incredible about being weightless and floating on the surface of the ocean and seeing below you nothing but sand and fish and cool stuff. I wasn't in control, just free. And it wasn't until I began to relax and trust the process, trust what God had made, trust the water, and quit looking for the boat, that I got to see the surprises. In this particular case, there's a Buddha on the bottom of the ocean. Strange. We're swimming along, and at the bottom of the ocean, who put Buddha down there? But there he is, sitting in all his sereneness on the bottom of the ocean. If I had not finally relaxed, gotten into deep water, I would have never had the surprise. So often for us, we don't ask the question, what might happen if we listen to God calling us to deeper water. What might it look like for us as individuals if we get pulled into deeper water by this call of Jesus? What might it mean spiritually and practically for us to give up the beach, the certainty of our feet on the bottom? Imagine for yourself what it might look to begin to go to deep water where you're not in control, where you're forced to trust, where currents and waves, sun and water, buoy you up. I often wonder what it might mean for our congregation to move into that deep water. I keep asking the question, what is Jesus calling this generation to do and to be in the world? What if we went deeper, took a risk? Imagine for yourself what missions we don't attend to, what people we don't reach, what relationships we don't nurture because we're so comfortable. What if we gave up comfort for Lent? Think about it. I think Jesus is calling those disciples in this story to do something incredibly radical, to leave their treasure behind. A whole catch, a lifetime catch, a once-in-a-lifetime catch of fish, and they leave it rotting on the shore to follow Jesus. We like our comfort. And that's not always bad. But I wonder if we're following the call of Christ. Imagine for a second if we could give up a little of our wealth and our time. What if we could give up just a little more for the opportunity to bring the word of life to more people? What if we as a congregation looked at what's happening around us in our community and on our island, and we said to ourselves, we want to be a mission center. Not only for our neighborhood, but for our island. We want to reach out to the people of Waikiki. We want to reach out to the people of Makiki. We want to be a presence for those who are visiting our island in new and exciting ways. How could we do it? It would take more money, more staff, more of your time. It would mean reorientating who we are for the sake of mission and the gospel. And there's room to do it. I laugh because one of the things that the disciples leave behind is that great catch of fish. What a waste. We have room to give up, to contribute, maybe to put it in a more positive stewardship tone, to contribute even more than we do now. We, I think, are not unlike the rest of the church. On average, Lutherans give about 2.7% of their income to the church. That's like staying with just your toes in the water. We're afraid to give our time or our effort. We're afraid to give up anything that might make us uncomfortable. But imagine as a parent, if you insisted, if you made a priority of Christian education for your children, and then you expected your church to actually provide it. Excellent, excellent Christian education. This was the point in the 8 o'clock service where Linda Miller, who is the head of our Sunday school, crouched really low. You're not going to make me do more. I was like, no, Linda, we have great Christian education. It's wonderful. But what if we decided we were going to actually make it a priority in our lives and the life of our children? If we said, you know what, we're going to send our kids to confirmation, we're going to give up cricket for our children. I usually pick on soccer, so I thought I'd try cricket this morning. It's easier to give up cricket, trust me. Right? Who cares? You know, I gave up cricket for Lent. Big deal. And it was like, for me, that'd be like giving up Brussels sprouts. But what if we envisioned a life for ourselves and our community where following Jesus, giving the life-giving gospel, was our priority? Are there opportunities that we can address that we're not addressing? Absolutely. I see that this congregation, our church as a whole, the Christian faith, has the skills and resources and ability to go deeper, deeper, deeper. And yet, if we keep throwing our nets over the same side of the boat and fishing the shallows, we miss so much. If we keep doing it, we're going to starve. So I think Jesus calls us to swim in deeper water, to be surrounded by the waters of our baptism, to float deep and wide, to share our gifts with freedom and abundance, to take a chance, frankly, with our budget, to quit worrying about so much every single time, every single moment, that we have to shape our mission by our budget. Well, we can't afford to do it. Steve, you can close your ears. Thank you. But instead to say that the mission of Christ matters most. And that if we need to hire staff, or we need to get more people, or we need to volunteer more, or we need to reshape who we are for the sake of the gospel, that we do it. That we go into that deep water and find ourselves renewed in the waters of Christ. Truly drowned in our baptism and brought to life in Jesus. The disciples were called to deep water that day. And I think we are called to that same deep, deep water. Come and follow. Amen.